Well, good morning and welcome to Wednesday morning. I hope you carved out a little bit of time yesterday to remember those who made the ultimate sacrifice. I made it down to one of many Remembrance Day ceremonies happening in the province, and always good. Always love seeing not only a crowd, a large crowd of people out, but seeing a lot of youth there. Every year, because we know that sadly every year we are losing our veterans more and more, especially those from World War II, we are seeing a massively dwindling number. And so while there's still family and relatives there, the veteran numbers have gone down significantly. But yet, when we see youth there, I absolutely love it. And yesterday, I absolutely noticed that at the ceremony that I was at. I happened to be in Regina, so went to the Brandt Center yesterday. Packed house there, and lots of people, including lots of youth, which is always really good to see. Well, we got lots going on. Still speculation on whether the federal budget will pass the vote on the 17th. Also, the question, is there a problem inside the Conservative caucus, or is this defection to the Liberal Party a one-off by the MP that did that? We'll have Brian Lilly joining us shortly to talk a little bit about that. Hearing lots of frustration in the ag sector, even since the budget was brought down, many saying it missed the mark. We've got Real Agriculture's Sean Haney stopping by for a chat on that. And we'll talk a bit about foreign land ownership, which has been a hot topic in our province as well. Quite the trial. We just saw closing arguments in Regina. The Misha Pavlik murder trial wrapped up with closing arguments and now will be handed to the jury today to make their decision. Our senior reporter, Lisa Schick, has been following that and will join the show. Also, Saskatchewan's smartest radio listener. And at the end of the program today, a chat about the TV show from your youth that you thought was like the best show ever, but you watch it today and maybe it doesn't quite stand up to the test of time. We've got that coming up later on the show as well. All right, let's get going with today's Big Talker.
Let's get down to business, shall we?
Welcome. Let's begin.
The Evan Bray Show, The Big Talker.
Well, we've got still, of course, lots going on federally, even though they are not sitting this week. It's been a week since the federal budget was tabled, $78.3 billion deficit. We've talked a lot and we brought different guests on. This week, we are going to hear Thursday the announcement of the next nation building projects. And so this seems like a great time to bring our friend Brian Lilly back onto the program, political columnist for the Toronto Sun. Always happy to have Brian stop by. Brian, thanks for taking the call this morning.
Thanks for having me on. I've got my rider's toucan. The Ticats,
I like
the Ticats are not in the Grey Cup.
I like it.
I've got the rider's toucan. I thought about going to Winnipeg for the game, but I'll stay warm.
Hey, you got the toque. That's a good start. That's a good start in the right direction. So federal budget, you and I talked before the federal budget came down. I know I've seen, I think you called it a stinker in one of the articles that I read that you had written. Just your thoughts on the budget, Brian.
Well, the reason I called it a stinker is that it was nothing that Mark Carney had said it would be. I've never seen a government perform so badly at pre-positioning or marketing their budget. You know, we were told it would be an austerity budget, that the government would spend less to invest more. Now, that's a phrase that means nothing because you can't – investment is spending – so you can't spend less and invest more. But they tried to make it sound like they would get program spending under control. And if you believe what they will do next year, that might happen. But what they're doing this year is program spending is up 7.2%. And the reason I mentioned that is Mark Carney spent the last several months saying Justin Trudeau was unsustainable with an average annual increase in program spending of 8%. So if 8% is unsustainable, what 7.2%?
Right.
Also unsustainable. The deficit, we've all heard this staggering number, $78.3 billion, and they want you to believe that this is all due to Donald Trump. It's not. Even the parliamentary budget officer, with his projection of a $68 billion deficit, said only about 18% of that would be attributable to Donald Trump and the tariffs. This is a government with a massive spending problem. So I don't believe them that next year they're going to get that under control. We're spending more to service the debt than the federal government is spending on healthcare transfers to the provinces. So then there was the issue of Carney trying to sell this as transformational, a generational transformation is what he called it. There is nothing in here. There's the super deduction. I think that might get some people to spend money that they were going to spend anyway a little quicker. But having spoken to people in the financial sector, they say, no, this is not going to attract new investment. You know, the regulations that have pushed investment away, especially out your way, especially in the oil patch, those are not changing.
Right.
And in fact, as I was reporting yesterday, Mark Carney is keeping the electric vehicle mandate in place just to keep his own green liberal MPs in line. So, you know, what's happening here? Mm-hmm. Not much. And I've got thoughts on the announcement. We know the four projects that will be announced tomorrow. And most of them were already underway or have been languishing for quite some time. It's, again, just like the first list, they're all good projects. I want them all to go ahead, but it's not exactly, you know, earth-shattering stuff or bringing in new ideas and new investments.
Brian Lilly is my guest. So I want to talk about those projects in just a second for sure. But, I want to come back to when Mark Carney first became prime minister, and maybe even predating that, when he was running for leadership, he talked about making Canada an energy superpower. Well, it's clear that energy doesn't include new incentives or deregulation of oil and gas. I mean, this is becoming more and more clear, even with the oil and gas cap, the possibility of removal, but it really is hinged on whether or not other climate policy, which includes an industrial carbon price, basically captures and takes the place of what that oil and gas cap was incentivized to do.
Energy superpower to Mark Carney means nuclear, it means green energy, renewables, and now we're figuring out liquefied natural gas if it comes from British Columbia and not Alberta and not Saskatchewan. Because you know, in the last project, or the last list of major projects that he announced, they said that they would expand the liquefied natural gas export terminal and the ability to export from there at Kitimat in British Columbia. Well, that is a the entire project only uses natural gas from northern British Columbia. The project that he's going to announce tomorrow that will be it's called the Kisi Lissoms Liquefied Natural Gas Project. That'll be at Prince Rupert. It is also just using BC natural gas. Now, why do I make that distinction? It's all Canadian. Yeah, but who is the guy right now that's standing in the way of a pipeline to the north west coast of British Columbia for oil and gas from Alberta? David Eby. David Eby doesn't want a pipeline in from Alberta, but he will take a pipeline if it just stays within British Columbia because he wants and needs that royalty money. Mm-hmm. His government's broke. They spend too much. They don't bring enough money. So they need this project. So he'll back that, but he will not back any pipeline project that comes in from another province. So, you know, these are nation building projects to a degree. Yeah. And also it's going ahead because it is just within BC. I have a real problem with that.
If you look at what the sources are saying will be announced, you talked about the LNG project in BC, a nickel project in Ontario, a mine in New Brunswick, that's a tungsten mine, if I'm not mistaken, and then a hydroelectric project in the north. These are the four projects that will be released. But you've said it already, Brian. A lot of even the first wave of projects were ones like the one in Saskatchewan that were well underway, and this is just kind of bumping them closer to the finish line.
Yeah, and look, take low-hanging fruit. That's good. But it wasn't the head of that the copper mine in Saskatchewan. Wasn't it on TV and saying, like, we're going to be done next year?
Mm-hmm.
So you know, a lot of what's going on, this nickel mine in Ontario, you know, Ontario Premier Doug Ford said, look, I want the rain of fire on there. I want help with that. I want the federal government to get out of the way. I've been covering stories about the rain of fire and the mining opportunities and critical minerals up there since a guy named Ernie Eves was premier, and a lot of your listeners are going to have to Google and say, who was that? It was more than 20 years ago. And Premier Ford has actually done some movement to get things going, but the federal government, especially when Jonathan Wilkinson was natural resources minister, they've been standing in the way trying to block it. So Ford wanted those projects to go ahead. This nickel mine is nowhere near the Ring of Fire. It's just outside Timmins. This is not what they're asking for. It's not what various provinces are asking for. So he asked for provincial input. He doesn't seem to care much about it, though.
Brian Lilly is my guest, political columnist for the Toronto Sun. So let's talk about the budget and whether or not it's going to pass. I'm still of the camp that this is a no-brainer. It is going to pass. But history has shown that that is not always the case. You can't take it for granted, that final vote happening next week on the 17th. You have thoughts on this?
I still think it'll pass. I think that the Carney team will find a way. But there is an interesting clip of a guy named Mike Donaldson, longtime activist in conservative politics. In 1979, he was a young staffer to Joe Clark's defense minister, and he's before a group of students, is a recent clip talking about how the government fell, and it was very similar to the situation we're in now. You know, one of the major parties is in a leadership race. It was just an election. Nobody wants an election, and yet it happened. And he describes in quick detail how that came about. So there's always the possibility, but I do think they'll find a way for it to pass. Some New Democrats may abstain or not show up. The Conservatives in the Bloc will vote against it. Elizabeth May was initially saying she wouldn't vote against it, and I guess trying to drop the moniker that myself and others have given her of being a wholly owned subsidiary of the Liberal Party. Now she's saying, oh, well, you know, I think I can vote for this. So they'll squeak by.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's the abstention thing obviously is a possibility, but it doesn't appear, at least overtly, like there's lots of negotiation going on with the Liberal government to try and, for example, sway the Bloc, who probably are sitting there waiting for some negotiation offers to come forward. That doesn't appear to be happening, Brian.
No, they're too busy trying to poach MPs from all parties. I know we've just talked about the Conservatives, but trust me, it's a full court press out there. I was writing about the problems within Mark Carney's own caucus yesterday, but also getting feedback on what's happening in terms of what they're doing. So, as I mentioned earlier, he's keeping the EV mandate in place to try and keep the progressive Greens within his caucus. And they're going around and trying to, you know, find anyone who will either cross the floor to sit with them or resign so that they get closer to having a majority.
Is it an offensive push by the Liberals that are aggressively looking for this? How do you see this playing out?
I see it as psychological warfare against the Conservatives, all in an attempt to undermine Conservative leader Pierre Poilievre. They're putting out names of people and saying, oh, this person's close to crossing. And then you talk to them like, they haven't even talked to me, and I have no interest in crossing.
Well, some MPs are putting out videos trying to counter the rumors that are out there.
Yeah. And so if the Liberals are able to undermine and destabilize Pierre Poilievre, then there's a chance he may lose his leadership review in January. Until the floor crossing last week, I thought it was a slam dunk that he would win. Now I think it depends on how he handles everything going forward. But the Liberals clearly want him gone, because if they go to a spring election, a very real possibility that they might want to engineer that. If they go to a spring election and issues like affordability come up, well, Poilievre's a very good campaigner on that. Despite all the claims that nobody likes him, nobody votes for him, you know, he's a loser, he's fallen in the polls. It's not true. The polling is still very close, and the way things sit now, it would be another Liberal minority, which Carney doesn't want. You know, if he goes to an early election, he wants to get a majority. Or, depending on how the campaign goes, if it's Poilievre at the helm, he could win. So they want him out, and that's what an awful lot of this is about. And I'll have a piece out on at the TorontoSun.com later today detailing what really went on with Chris D'Entremont, who's trying to make him sound like, oh, a poor red Tory that was neglected by the party. Not true, and I brought receipts.
Look forward to reading that. Brian, thanks so much for joining us on the program today.
Thank you.
Brian Lilly, a political columnist for the Toronto Sun. We're actually going to check in momentarily here with someone from inside the Conservative Party caucus, Warren Steinle, Member of Parliament for the riding of Regina-Louvain, going to stop by for a quick chat. Then we'll open up the phone lines for you here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.